Thank you and good Saturday, everyone, and welcome in to the Bonesville pregame podcast. Al Myatt joined by Kevin Monroe. Kevin, of course, great defensive back in his playing days at East Carolina. You can hear Kevin today on the Pirate Radio Network providing his insights as East Carolina is at Southern Methodist, SMU, for a noon kickoff. And Kevin, I know we hope we see that East Carolina is able to sustain the level of play that we saw for the game last week with Cincinnati, had a chance to knock off the number 17 Bearcats, and certainly a great improvement in the level of play from the Pirates from the previous week against South Florida.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt, Al. I mean, it was just, first of all, it was a heartbreaking loss to be up 12 with about 6 or 7 minutes to go in a game and find a way to lose. And I think everybody thought that Cincinnati would probably drive down and get the touchdown and get within five. But they were struggling to stop the Pirates. So, you know, it was a foregone conclusion that the Pirates would drive the ball right back down the field and at minimum get a field goal. And they were doing that. You know, they were had crossed the midfield. I think we're close to the 40-yard line or at the 40-yard line when Holton Ehlers throws the pick six. That pretty much changed the whole ball game. And you know, not pointing fingers at him, it was not a good throw, but he had an unbelievable game. Probably won't ever have a better game than that stats-wise. But I'm sure he'd love to have that throw back. And, you know, defensively, I thought the Pirates, you know, played good at times, but they certainly struggled with the quarterback draw. And that's now, you know, 3 weeks in a row that teams have broken out that quarterback draw on the Pirates, and the Pirates have had no answers. And so I'm assuming they've gone, you know, back to the drawing board with that and some other running plays that they've struggled with to give up, you know, 300 yards rushing and still have a chance to win is pretty impressive. But, yeah, tough loss for the Pirates. But I think that the way they played, the heart that they played with, the ability to get up and stay up pretty much the entire game was impressive. And I think Pirate fans have, you know, finally seen what they were hoping to see from this Mike Houston team from day one. You know, it took 8 games to get here, but I think they were as competitive as they could be against a top 25 team, and they'll face another one here today.
Well, that's right, Kevin. Of course, a big part of Holton Ehlers being able to throw the ball for over 500 yards was true freshman C.J. Johnson. And he set a school record for receiving yards in a game and also an American Conference receiving record for receiving yards in a game. And he has just developed into that go-to receiver in the mold of a Justin Hardy or a Zay Jones or even going back as far as Andre Allison perhaps. But he has given Holton a great deep threat, 75 yards for the first East Carolina touchdown last Saturday night, and that opens up things, I think, for Blake Prohl and Tyler Snead and the intermediate routes, and the tight ends were involved in the receiving game as well. Zach Bird and Josiah Hatfield both had touchdown catches, I believe, last week against Cincinnati.
Yeah, let's start with the offense as a whole first and talk about the play calling. You know, I've spoken, you know, a couple of different times that I'd love to see them open things up a little bit more, you know, use some more misdirection, throw the ball down the field more, just do some things that, you know, maybe isn't characteristic of Donnie Kirkpatrick and Mike Houston and what they did at James Madison, but might cater more towards the athletes that we have, because I keep hearing we don't have the size that other programs in the conference have. I keep hearing that, you know, maybe we don't have the speed. And so if the talent, if the ability of the players isn't where you want it to be, then it's going to be hard to line up and run the ball right at them. It's going to be tough to, you know, try to out-muscle a team that's, you know, obviously bigger and stronger than you are. So you got to do some things to catch them off guard. You know, it was one of the telltale signs of a Steve Logan team back in the 90s was that, you know, we were always outmatched. You know, there's no way we beat number 10 Miami just going right at them. You know, you got to do some things different. And so it was great to see the offense kind of mature and change and grow right in front of our eyes. And we got to see Holt Naylor's role in the pocket and doing some different things and some of the routes that they were running. It just looked like a better offense. And then they got the running game going. They didn't run the ball a lot. They didn't run the ball successfully a lot, but they were getting 3 yards a carry, and it opened up the play action. And then, you know, you go opposite. The play action opens up the run because now they think you're going to pass it every time. You can hand it off and run the ball. So I really loved what I saw from the offense. It's what I've been hoping for all year long, and that's the reason they were able to put up so many yards and points. And, yeah, when you talk about this offense, you have to narrow it down to some specific players. First of all, I think they've got three of the better receivers in the conference in Johnson, Prohl, and Tyler Snead. But also, yeah, you did see some glimpses from Hatfield. He gets a touchdown. The tight end step up and make some plays. CJ Johnson is a man. I mean, he is, you know, every bit of 6'2" or more, 220 pounds or more. I mean, he does not look like any true freshman I've ever seen. I didn't get to see any Conley games last year, but I can't imagine how dominant he was at the high school level with that size. It's a pleasure to watch him play. You know, I see him somewhere in the mix of a Troy Smith in the way that he goes up and gets the ball in crowds and is able to bring them down. But add to that a Dwayne Harris, because his ability to make people miss when he's in the open field and get those yards after the catch, and the strength that he plays with, that Dwayne had with that lower body strength, just dragging people. I mean, he's really impressive. So I'm super glad that we have him for 3 more years. Blake Prohl, you know, there's not a better route runner around. I mean, he's always open. You know, if the quarterback just has time on third downs, he's always open. He catches the ball with his hands. Doesn't have the breakaway speed. You know, he's not going to get the yak that C.J. Johnson's getting, but he'll catch the ball, and he's always open. And then Tyler Snead, I mean, he's just the guy that's just so nifty in between the tackles, in that area, you know, right behind the linebackers, the crosses, the little short pass plays. But he also is electric with the ball in his hands. So love having those three guys do what they do. And we talked about Hatfield coming along. And I think there's some other guys that may start to pick it up. But once you start getting a few guys making plays, everybody else either raises their level of play or they go away. So we'll see what other receivers step up going forward.
Well, Kevin, the offense was 7 for 7 in the red zone. Had to settle for field goals 3 times. Obviously, if you score touchdowns on those possessions, East Carolina wins the ball game. Of course, the pass route area becomes constricted a little bit when you're in the red zone, and it's good to have Jake Verity in there. He's a pretty sure 3 points. But obviously, a little better red zone success might have made a difference.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna kick some field goals. That's just a part of the whole deal. You'd like to score touchdowns every time down there, but in reality, most teams aren't that lucky. And so we'll see. It's great having Jake Verity, but if the defense helps them out just a little bit more, they win that game with no problem. So I'm not ready to say that the inefficiencies to get touchdowns this past Saturday was the problem in the red zone, because I think they did more than enough on their end in terms of scoring points. You know, 43 points should get you a win. Just all three phases of the ball game have to be better. Special teams has been great lately. Offense was great last week. Defense has to step up their game to win those kind of games.
Well, Kevin, to the defense's credit, Daniel Charles with a couple of interceptions, and that kind of helped East Carolina maintain momentum at times.
You know what, and it's not anything special that Daniel Charles did. What he did do was he was where he was supposed to be when he was supposed to be there. And if you just think back over the last 3, 4, 5 years of watching Pirate football, how many times have you seen DBs not be where they're supposed to be and there's receivers running wide open, specifically safeties? Because it seems like the middle of the field is always so vulnerable against Pirate football teams. And as of late, that hasn't been the case. guys don't usually run free. There's usually somebody there. Now, they don't always make the play. You know, Colby Gores had several times this year where I wish he'd, you know, gotten a hand on the football and made something happen. But he's usually in the right place, just need to make some more plays. And McMillan has made a ton of plays, and so have the safeties and Tank and Daniel Charles. So I love seeing Charles be there to get the tip pass from McMillan for his first interception. And the second one is just, you know, being where he's supposed to be, undercutting the play and making a pick. So kudos to him, and you know he's going to have a bright future here. And I love, you know, once you start to make plays, you know it's like a shark in the water. I mean, you have to have it, you want it, and so you start to play that way. And I expect him to continue to make plays.
Well, Kevin, SMU coming off its first loss of the season at Memphis, and how do you think they will react?
You know, this is a very, very good SMU team. I think they play Memphis at home. They win. But this is on the road. Game day's there. And it's so much excitement about this game. You know, I really feel like that they were at a huge disadvantage. But they'll be ready to play. I don't have any doubt that what SMU has to offer is maybe the best in the country in terms of what they can do offensively and defensively. And so I know they'll be ready for the Pirates. This will not be an easy game whatsoever. And I think that the fact that SMU went on such a win streak and the way they were playing all year long, I think it really tells, you know, how good Coach Tony Dykes is, how good their athletes are, and to be in the top 25 and continuously play well week in and week out, you know, they're just strong. And so Memphis is a team that's tough to beat, specifically in Memphis. I don't have any doubt they'll come out and play well. You know, they're averaging 509 yards of offense per game, over 43 points. I mean, this is a team that can really play. There are some holes, you know, and Memphis found some of those. And they are giving up 30 points a game. And so if the Pirates come out offensively and play the way they played against Cincinnati, they'll be in this game. It's just going to be a tough one to win on the road. So they'll just have to bring, you know, more than their A game. You know, it'll have to be the best game of the year today to get this win.
Well, let's talk about the Bonesville tradition. Kevin's keys to the game.
Well, we talked about last week trying to find a way to get out early, get a lead, and keep the lead. And so that doesn't change this week. You've got to find a way to strike early. Now, Cincinnati game, they struck early. Well, not Cincinnati. The game before that, South Florida, they struck early, and then nothing else happened. They had the kick return, nothing else happened. Last week, they struck early, and they kept pounding. So you got to get out early, get the first touchdown on the board, and keep the pressure on this SMU defense. Defensively, it starts up front again. And it seems like every week now we're talking about this because we're facing so many offensive lines that are big and talented and strong and athletic. This Pirate defensive line has to come to play. These linebackers have to come to play. They're giving up too many yards rushing. Got to find a way to maintain the line of scrimmage better and stop this running game that SMU can provide, that most teams in the conference can provide. You've got to find a way to stop that. And then the turnovers. The turnovers killed the Pirates last week. You know, that one big pass and a couple things here and there. You've got to stop that. So the Pirates literally have to have 0 to 1 turnovers in this ball game, and they've got to find a way to get some in order to beat this SMU team because they're very, very good.
Okay. Well, Kevin, thank you so much, and we will see what we see and hope for the best. And I look forward to talking with you week after next on the Bonesville Pregame Podcast.
Appreciate it, Al.
It's still a ship. Bloody Pirates!